Tonight, Mark chapter 8. Last week, we started an end-of-the-year study, kind of reflecting on our Christian walk with the Lord. And last week, I began to teach from Mark chapter 8. And Jesus is teaching here in verse 34. And it's interesting, we're reading through the Gospel of Luke right now in our accountability groups. It's interesting to study how many times Jesus addresses the topic of discipleship and of following Him. Now, he's talking at that point to His disciples, His 12 disciples, and there's some others that were following. But it's amazing as you just pay attention how many times as when he's talking about something, then he goes back to saying, if you're going to follow me, then you're going to have to. As you think about that, I've entitled this message, The Marks of a True Disciple. And last week, Jesus said the first mark is found in verse 34. He called His people unto Him with His disciples. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. The imperative command here, and an ongoing command, it says if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, then you're going to have to be continually denying yourself. How many of you found that to be true on Thursday of last week? How many of you know what I mean? If you're going to follow the Lord, it's a daily thing. Because when Christ saved us, He gave us, we're a new creation in Him, but He didn't take away that old nature, did He? In fact, the Bible talks about that old nature, we're to die to it. Colossians chapter 3 says we're to mortify it, to put it off, to reckon it dead. But that old nature is there. How many of you have ever said, well, I just gave somebody a piece of my mind? And it wasn't spirit-led or spirit-filled. My mama did that many times. And it was in direction to me. And you know, how many of you ever heard anybody, your kids, well, you could have said that a little kinder. You know, it's easy to get in the flesh. It's easy. And we have to constantly, if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to continuously be denying ourselves. We got to continuously be rejecting our own claims to our own life. We've got to continually reject our desires for His desires. Now, there's a problem with that philosophy today in modern Christianity, because we really struggle with His desires, because we feel like, as Christians, if we follow His desires, then we're not going to have any fun, and our life's going to be miserable and boring. Haven't we seen enough Christians' lives train wrecks lately? Listen, I want you to teach this to your kids. Don't ever teach your kids to follow their heart, because the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so therefore, we have to continuously deny ourselves. And I'm going to tell you tonight, the Christian life doesn't get any easier as you get older. Because then you have to deal with your mind. When you're younger, it's your flesh, but then as you get older, it's your mind. So we have to constantly be denying ourselves. And we talked about the greatest enemy we have is not Satan. Who is it? Yourself. We are our greatest enemy. Now, Satan knows how to attack us, but our greatest enemy is ourselves. So Jesus said, the mark of a true disciple is you're going to be one that denies yourself. Now, how'd we do this week? There's no need to lie. I struggled. I did. I struggled in some areas. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. He said, you struggled? Yeah, I struggled. I found some areas that I wasn't denying myself. And I want to tell you, if you truly follow Christ, you'll get the opportunity to put into practice what He teaches. And the first thing is deny yourself. But notice the second thing that Jesus says. This really, in our modern thought process, this really doesn't make sense to us. But in that day, it made sense. He said, the second thing is, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself, but then you got to take up your cross, take up His cross. We got to take up our cross. I think about one of the writers of yesteryear who wrote about the Great Divide. He said, the first step which follows Christ's call cuts the disciple off from his previous existence. The call to follow at one produces a new situation. To stay in the old situation makes discipleship impossible. Think about that. When Jesus was calling his disciples, he said, "Follow me." And the Bible says, what did they do? They left everything, all, and followed him. And this is what, when Jesus said, you got to take up your cross. Now, in that day, crucifixion was always visible. When they crucified people and killed people through crucifixion, they would put the crosses up on a major highway, like 301. What if we took all the people that had exhausted all of their legal and they were guilty and their charge was death by crucifixion, and we put them all up on 301 and crucified them? You think that would get your attention? It's like, wow. They mean business. Now, our legal system's so flawed and our justice system's so flawed, that's not going to happen. But in crucifixion in that day, it was prevalent. It was said that about 30,000 Jews had died by crucifixion at the hands of the Romans. Think about that for just a moment. Now, when Jesus talks about taking up your cross, sad to say, modern Christianity thinks that you wear it around your neck. I've met many people that wore a cross but had no reflection of Jesus. You see, we have taken in the modern church symbols and made them become real, and that's not what Jesus is speaking of. The cross was a place of sacrifice. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Can we just bow our heads and pray and go home now? Because isn't that where most of us struggle? I mean, really, what do we really sacrifice to serve Jesus? What does it really cost us to serve Jesus? Why do you think the churches in China that are underground are seeing people saved and lives changed? And the church is on fire there because literally it costs them much. It's the peril of being put in prison if they're caught gathering together. The cost of sacrifice. And it's amazing as a believer how many things I'm willing to sacrifice for, but I'm not really willing to take up my cross and sacrifice for him. What would it look like in my life if I'm taking up my cross and I'm sacrificing? What would that look like? What might I be doing in sacrificing? Sacrificing time that I think is important for me to help others. What else would sacrifice look like? What's that again? Spending. Sacrificing to give. I don't think we in America really know what that is. Back, you remember the story in the Bible, the widow's mite? That was sacrifice because she gave everything. I was talking to a preacher, an older guy. I'm an older guy now myself, but he's a little older than me, and he'd pastored for about 40 years, and he's burdened about planting churches out west, and I just let him talk. He talked for about 20 minutes, and he said he was out in a church planting conference, 2,000 people in Oklahoma. And these church planters, I mean, he said, where there's so many churches right here in this vicinity in Wyoming, there's not hardly any churches. And he said, God burdened my heart. One of the church planters didn't have a vehicle. He said, I gave him my vehicle, and I flew back home. I'd say that's sacrifice. And he's on a fixed income. He's 68 years old, 69, and he's not in good health. Sacrifice. You see, here's the picture Jesus is painting that we miss. We're laying up for right here that's not going to last. And he said, if you follow me and your sacrifice won't go unnoted here, as you're sacrificing for me, then you're laying up for over there. Now, what we lay up for over there is not going to be about us, though, is it? Because, listen, if all I do is sacrifice down here, and can I challenge you that, yeah, young kids, don't sacrifice all your time and make your kids the center of your attention of everything in life. I'm going to tell you what's, can I tell you, if I was a youth pastor today, what I'd be teaching our young people? You don't get rewarded for everything you do. You need to sacrifice and give back to the Lord. That's missing today. Parents, I can't do that for you, but you need to step up and learn to teach your children what it means to sacrifice. That's following Jesus. And we're so afraid today, I'm just going to be candid tonight, we're so afraid today that if we surrender our kids to the Lord, and by the way, you don't own your kids. I don't own my kids. We're stewards of them. They're going to move off somewhere and serve the Lord. We're never going to see it. That would be the greatest sacrifice you did that would bring joy in your life. Because I know some parents that got their kids living in close proximity of them, and it's miserable because they're watching their kids self-destruct. So when Jesus said, you got to be willing to sacrifice, the cross was a place of sacrifice, but the cross was also a place of suffering. I'm going to tell you the one thing today that in Christianity, modern Christianity, when we follow Jesus, people have the mindset, well, once you follow Jesus, life's going to be easy. Everything's going to be, no, if take up our cross, it's going to mean we may suffer. If you and I follow Jesus, as his word says, we're going to have some people that are not going to want to hang out with us. And we don't even ever have to say a word. They're going to call us pious. And it's not being pious. It's just a matter, I love the Lord and I want to please the Lord and I want to follow him. And if it costs me something right now in eternity, that won't matter. See, the cross is a place of suffering, of hardship. It could be a place of persecution for his name's sake. One writer said it this way. True conversion causes a person to view the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven as so precious that no personal sacrifice is too much. I say this often. I say it to myself as well. When we lose sight of all that Jesus did for us on the cross, we take for granted what salvation really is. You know, I want you to take your Bibles, and the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this. Look, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a chapter of application. The first three chapters in Ephesians are doctrinal admonition, but the last three chapters are application. And in chapter 5, Paul reveals the mystery that he's been talking about. He's talking about the church. Now, I want you to look with me in verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he, Christ, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Even as I'm to love my wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and Christ gave himself for it, the church, that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he, Christ, might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then he said, so ought men also to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man hath ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord, and here's the understanding, the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. Now, I read that passage for this. If I truly, at salvation, view the Lord Jesus and the hope of heaven so precious, then I'm going to view everything that Jesus values as precious. I'm going to view the church as precious. It's not optional. I'm afraid today, I'm just going to be real with you tonight, we've made the church optional now. And now people say, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to go 3 times a week. You're right. But if you want to study the first example, they came together every day. Can I tell you what drove them together every day? Persecution. And so if I love the Lord with all my heart and I'm taking up my cross, then I'm going to love what he loves. I'm going to view what he views as precious, and I'm going to view that no personal sacrifice is too much for him. Listen, I'm afraid at the judgment seat, which I'll be judged for my works, many things I thought I did for him, I did for myself, they're going to be burned up. They didn't cost me anything. And I understand this kind of teaching and preaching is not personal. It's not popular. And we want to hit the mute button. But can I tell you, if you're a child of God, you're going to stand before God one day on your behalf. I'm going to stand on my behalf. And on my behalf is how I've taught you, because God has placed you under my leadership. I have a lot to give an account for. I'm not mad at anybody. I want you to be able to stand before the judgment seat and say, Lord, I gave you my all. And no sacrifice was too great. No sacrifice was too great. And I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I think about what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8, Brother Byron. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. I mean, sometimes Paul was scratching his head, perplexed. But we're not in despair, not giving up. I'm persecuted. But God's not forsaken me. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he's bringing about that crucifixion as Christ died on the cross and suffered. I'm suffering right now, but it reminds me of what he did for me, the great price that he paid for me. Can I tell you tonight, we'll never appreciate Christmas until we understand our sin. Some of us have been saved way too long to still be on a baby school understanding of Christmas. When we understand why Christ came, he came because we're such great sinners. And we had no hope. And he became sin for me. He became judgment. He took God's judgment for me. Man, what a privilege that I get to serve him. That don't mean you're going to be called into full-time service. If you're teaching school and you're a child of God, that is your full-time service. If you're out in the woods working in a log truck, or you're over here doing this or this or this or this, working at the bank, and you're a child of God following him, that is where God's placed you to be a light for him. And you see, Paul said, although I'm being persecuted, I'm not forsaken. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. Paul went on to say, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Tron, I was thinking about your family the other day when y'all had little Titus up there in Augusta. He weighed 1 pound what? He was a little tyke. And God had y'all on display. Both of them had just gotten saved about 3 months prior to that. Didn't realize the biggest test of their life would be with that new preemie baby. God had them on display up in Augusta for how many months, real? Say how many? Yeah, 72 days. And I thought about that, how God had them on display, the trial of their life, because there are lost people all around watching. Can I say tonight that whatever God may choose to put any of us through, it's because he's putting us through that because there are people who need to see the glory of God. He sees it, they see it through us. And Paul said, listen, all things redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Paul said, we're not going to quit. Though our outward man perish, and the trials and the sufferings of life will cause you to become weary. But just because the outward man may be weary, the inward man does not have to die, does it? He said, but the inward man is renewed. And notice this, underline this in your Bible. That inward man is renewed day by day. Every day that I get up and follow Jesus, I got to deny myself. And I got to take up that cross, whatever that cross that God has given me, that may be really tasking me. And say, God, I can't today in my strength. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10? He said that his strength is made perfect where? In our weakness. You say, Pastor, I've never had to go through that. Well, if you're following Jesus, there you will. And God will let you go through something that you'll find out you cannot bear. And it may not be just a day or 2 days. It may be years, right? And how do you get there? God, today, I got to be renewed. I got to renew my mind. In fact, what Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brother, help me now. By the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Every day, I've got to be renewed through my mind. I think Cal said it tremendously on Sunday night. When the temptation comes, what I fill my mind with. And he said, when the temptation would come, I'd go to Romans 1. And then that temptation would come back, and go to Romans 1 and 2. And the temptation, and I'm going to Romans 1, 2, and 3. You get the point, don't you? As we fill our minds back with the Word of God guides us today. And when you lay your weary soul, your weary body, because I'm going to tell you, persecution, whether it's going through a trial or whatever, wears your body. But when you lay down at night, you go, man, God, I made it today by your grace. Because you know what? I'm convinced the devil wants to trip up God's children. He can't take our salvation, but he can wreck our testimony. Man, he's sure been after mine for about 5 years now, straight. Straight, 5 years. And some days I haven't denied myself. And the only reason I'm here tonight is not because I'm a super saint. It's just day by day, God, I got to have your strength today. You know what? I like to sing the little chorus. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. I wonder how it'd be, Brother Paul, to get angry at God and walk away and then die saved, but as a spectator and have to face God and say, God, I blew it. You see, tonight Paul said, listen, the outward man perishes, but the inward man's renewed day by day. Look at verse 17. Now we don't understand this. Now understand, Paul said, I've been troubled on every side. I'm not distressed. The most distressing thing I had happen to me today is I drove in Atlanta, Savannah traffic, and got behind the army procession and went 10 miles an hour for about 10 miles with people trying to pass me. That's an easy day. He said, listen, our light affliction. And I want you to understand this in your Bible. Look, underline this in your Bible. Our light affliction is but for a what? Now, Paul's not looking at the lens through the temporal. He's looking at the lens through the eternal. What I'm going through right now in light of eternity is momentary. You know, I understand that. I'm 62 years old, and that happened in a moment. I remember when I was 30. That was yesterday morning early. And just overnight, and in the 10 hours today, I've gotten older. Right? You know what? In light of eternity, whatever we may be going through is momentary. But notice what it does. It worketh for us. Now, if I were to put this in monetary terms, some of you know what I'm talking about. Because you can, you know, it's amazing in the Baptist church, when you start talking about money, people that ain't looked at you, the whole service go, whoop. When something's financially is working for me, what does that mean? It's profiting me, right? The other day I made the mistake of asking some people at the bank what the interest rate was on savings account. That's insulting. what is it, Miss Kimberly? Point, it's a quarter of a penny, right? Quarter of a percent. So is that a quarter of a penny? It's a little bit more than that, but it ain't much more than that. And I thought, that it take you, you'd have to have millions and millions of dollars to even notice anything. You know what? Tonight, church, when we're bearing the cross, whatever we're bearing is working for us. But notice what he says, a far more exceeding and what? Eternal weight of glory. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I said it last week. A lot of us have regrets. I'll never forget my daddy on his deathbed said, I regret not spending more time with my family and spending all my time working. But he couldn't change it. So many of us have regrets that we don't ever change. And if we tonight really want that eternal weight of glory, then we need to be willing to take up our cross. Because here's the key, when I take up my cross, I might be suffer, I might be persecuted, but who's right there with me? Christ is. Can I tell you tonight, you and I will never really know how much we know Jesus until we go through suffering and difficulty. Because then my former pastors with the Lord said, Steve, I believe when a man really wants to serve God, God knocks all the props out from under him to see who he's going to rely on. That's a good thing. Because God's more interested in my character than he is my comfort. And that's a good thing. And Paul said, listen, this is working an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things, look at verse 18, which are what? Seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Everything that we have at our house. Everything you can put your finger on. Brother Brad Waters said it well. Everything you can put your finger on, it stays here. Only thing that goes with us is what we send ahead. And if I'm spending so much time on what I can put my finger on here, I'm neglecting what I'm sending over there. I challenge us tonight, church. I challenge us as we close out another year. Let's look back at our lives this year and see what we've invested in. And see how much is it really going to matter there? Peter talks about bearing our cross. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. Peter talks about bearing our cross in 1 Peter chapter 3. Cross bearing is in direct correlation with identifying with Christ. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But let's look at the third thing that Jesus says. Not only take up our cross, but he says you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and two simple words, follow me. Now, Jesus, go to the book of John chapter 10 with me for just a moment. John chapter 10. Jesus teaches this principle of following him. Look at verse number 4. He's talking about sheep. In verse number 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he, the good shepherd, goes before them, and the sheep follow him, the shepherd, because the sheep know whose voice? His voice. Now, sheep follow the shepherd. The way God designed sheep, sheep need to follow a shepherd. Because what is the nature of a sheep? They're a wanderer. What else is the nature of a sheep? Dumb. Well, I have a college education. Don't flatter yourself if that's what you feel like. Because I've met a lot of people that were well-educated, didn't even know how to cut grass in a straight line. Come on now. You know, sheep by nature are one, and sheep are defenseless. They can't defend off predators. The coyotes would love a sheep farm around here, wouldn't they? And Jesus said, my sheep follow me. They know my voice. Now, let's talk about that for just a second. If Jesus says, follow me, and he said, my sheep know my voice, how do we know the voice? How does Jesus speak to us? His word. So if I'm not in his word, am I hearing his voice? If I'm not in the word, am I hearing Jesus' voice? No. So if I'm not in the word and I'm not hearing his voice, am I following him? And that's not Pastor Steve's conclusion, nor those who said no. That's Jesus' conclusion. My sheep follow me, for they know my voice. So if I'm not hearing his voice because I'm not in his word, then who am I following? The other side. Which way am I going? The wrong way. I didn't say that. Look at verse 5. Huh? Verse 5, just go to the next one. And a stranger, my sheep, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If you're a child of God, if you're truly a child of God, the Spirit of God resides within you. And the Spirit of God gives discernment to know voices that aren't the voice of God. That's why you don't have to study false cults. You don't have to study false religions to find out what they believe. You know why? Because if you and I are following the Lord and we're in his word, we know what the truth is. And we know anything that doesn't line up with the truth is a false voice. He said, they know not the voice of strangers, verse 6. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now look on down in verse number 27, just to save time here. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know my sheep. And my sheep, they follow me. In verse 27, 8, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You want to talk about eternal security? It's right there. As a child of God, nobody, absolutely nobody, can take me from my Father. I'm his. I'm eternally secure in him. I'm not going to want to give my salvation back. I'm a child of God. And therefore, as his child, because I'm his child, and I've got an eternal life, I want to follow him. What happens when I don't follow him? Why am I not following him? Because I think I go back to verse, the previous part of the mark of disciple, because I'm not denying myself. Because Satan is going to continually be going after my old nature. He's going to, if you really desire to follow the Lord, your opposition is going to be your old nature, and Satan's going to do everything he can do. I was talking to somebody about church, and they said, I just, to be honest with you, I said, I missed you. I don't have an excuse. I said, well, I'm grateful when people do that, because that means the Spirit of God has convicted them. What bothers me is when people don't struggle with being with the family of God. When people don't struggle ever opening the Word of God. Now listen to me. Come on now. Don't tell me you're too busy. Everybody has the same amount of time. And in our world today, we have media devices that we can play the Word of God as we go down the road. Yeah. Well, I just can't pay attention. Well, you're looking at the king of I can't pay attention right here. I have ADD. I have supersized squirrels running my head all the time. Somebody told me today, said, I notice you when you're talking to people, you're always looking at somebody else. I said, yeah, because I got to get to the next person because I'm going to miss somebody and they're going to remind me of that. And my mind is zipping. And I read Luke chapter 10 this morning 3 times, not because I'm so spiritual, but because those squirrels would not cooperate. Anybody bear my struggle? Thank you. But listen, sheep follow the shepherd because you know what? We realize the shepherd loves us. Can I tell you tonight that the shepherd loves you? The shepherd knows the direction I need to go. The shepherd knows what's best for me. In fact, Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, the shepherd knows the direction. He knows what I need. And he's promised to be right there with me. And yes, it may cost me something. It may cause some persecution in my life. But listen, there's a far greater eternal weight of glory down the road. And what that leads to is it leads to a life that has purpose. You know what I find today? Many people don't know why they're here. They don't know why they're here. Many Christians don't know why they're here. But if you're following the shepherd, denying yourself and taking up the cross and following him, he will show you your purpose. Listen, Satan is the master deceiver to tell people you have no purpose in life. Nobody cares about you. That's a lie. Jesus cares. I always get concerned about people who always want to be by themselves, because that's not how God designed us. God designed us to be with each other. And you know what? When we find out who we are in Christ, you see, as I follow him, it took me till I was 35 years old to understand my identity. I was so insecure. You? Yeah, me. Trying to figure out in the pecking order of ministry where I fit. Trying to figure out this. And the Holy Spirit reminded me as he began to mature me, listen, you are my child. I'm going to lead you where I need you. I'm asking you to follow me. I'm not asking you to understand where we're going. Christian, you remember every time we'd get in the car, Caleb would say, where are we going? How long is it going to take to get there? Where are we going after that? That was constant, wasn't it? If he rode with any of the rest of you, that was the same way. Brother David, he was helping him one day and said, Brother David said, I got to go to lunch. I'll be back directly. Caleb said, how long's directly? He always wanted to know where he was going next. But that's the way we are. You know what? Tonight, the Good Shepherd has a plan for your life and my life. But I got to deny myself. I got to be willing to take up my cross and follow him. I'll never know where he's leading me until I deny myself. Take up my cross and say, Lord, I'm following you today. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up. I got to deny myself again. And listen to me. You got to get past, I don't feel like it. If you're waiting to feel like it spiritually, you'll never feel like it. I don't even know what that means, feeling like it. To deny myself, Lord, I want to follow you today. I don't want to miss what you have for me today. You know, one of the great joys of pastoring in the same place a long time is watching people grow in their faith. And I've had people say to me, here, Pastor, God laid this in my heart. I want you to take this, put it in somebody's hands that needs it. And then they come back and say, Pastor, God laid this. But I said, God laid this. I want you to put this in the hands of somebody that needs it. That's following. Listen, we wouldn't need welfare in America if everybody were believers because the church would take care of people. You say, what about deadbeats? No, the church would take the deadbeats and say, no, God says you need to work. We'd hold them accountable, right? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. God believes in working. This preacher does too, but listen, some people can't. Some people can't. The widow ladies wouldn't need Social Security because the church would take care of them. And God uses us. And you know the great thing is, when you're following him, you never know the day, the journey he's going to take you. But you'll go along and say, man, God, that was phenomenal, where you led me today. So as we look back over this year, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. Lord, I'm following you. I'm following your agenda. Because, Lord, I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not smart enough to know how to lead this church, Waterman Creek Baptist Church. I'm not smart enough. Lord, I'm not smart enough to know what to say to this person that's coming to see me. God, I'm not smart enough to know what you want us to do. And God, I'm asking you. I got off the phone the other day with somebody, and I said, you know, God, I've been praying, and you laid this on my heart. You see, God leads us. And in the end of the day, he gets the glory. Because I ain't smart enough. And neither are you. And one day when he calls us home, you're going to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. But thank you for leading me that I didn't waste my life. Lord, I pray tonight for your word to go forth. May you be honored and glorified. And God, help me tonight to die to myself. Help me to take up my cross and follow you. Follow you where you'd have me go. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd work in this place. And may you be honored and glorified and exalted. We're going to thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask all you parents.